Are we good?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, thanks for having me here this morning. I appreciate your time. I got a couple of things that I wanted to just inform the board on. First and foremost, just a kudos, I guess, would be the way to open this. I'm not sure if everybody remembers, but several years ago, I was invited to participate on a committee that produces the preeminent textbook that trains firefighters all across the country and really all across the world. It's even used in Saudi Arabia and really across the entire world to introduce firefighters to the basic concepts that they need to know and understand to ensure their own safety and be efficient in the fire ground, and then meticulously go over the skills in detail to make sure that firefighters are consistent in how they perform those skills. So I spent a little over 2.5 years on the committee producing this textbook, and they were kind enough to send me the first publication and send it to me. And I wanted to make note that every place that I have a tab here is a mention of Sublet County and their appreciation to Sublet County for allowing us to contribute to the production of this textbook for firefighters across the country to train from.
Excellent.
So.
That's great. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. All right. That being said, if you want to take a look at that, I'm happy to pass around,
sure.
But at your discretion. And while I'm moving on, I think that I didn't put this on the agenda. If you want me to, I'm happy to come back at another time. But my plan was to review the bids that we got for the wildland truck that I came to the commissioners for in. I think it was December that received approval to release the RFP for that that wildland truck. So what I have in front of me is 5 rejections from 5 different manufacturers that said that they chose not to submit a bid to us. And I'll read one of them, but they all essentially say the same thing. Let me find the one that gives the best summary as to why. So here's a rejection letter from Boise Mobile Equipment, who was the company that was awarded the Type 3 wildland truck, the most recent wildland truck that we just finished building. Boise Mobile Equipment chose not to bid on this Type 5 wildland truck that we asked for, and they say Boise Mobile's offering in Type 5s differs quite a bit from your own specifications. I've attached a sample that you should consider because Boise Mobile is stressing our own designs rather than agency models. And that's a good sentence that kind of summarizes really what the rest of these rejection letters all say to various degrees. Now, I will say that I do have one bid that we received from a reputed manufacturer, really one of the top-of-the-line manufacturers in the country, but it came in significantly above what we budgeted for the truck. So I called Matt Gaffney this morning and visited with him a little bit about it. My recommendation to the board would be to reject the proposals that we received. Give me an opportunity to come back and contact the manufacturers that chose not to submit bids and work with the manufacturers to see what was it exactly that that prohibited them from submitting a bid for competition with the other manufacturers, and maybe be able to work with them to see if there's something that we can do that is more in alignment with their business model. My personal feeling is that we customized the truck to meet our needs. A good example is we required a vertically orientated storage compartment right directly behind the cab, and the reason being is we wanted to mount our tools and our long handle shovels and so on vertically rather than laying them over horizontally and taking up the entire length of the bed of the compartment. So it's a space savings feature, but what that means is they can't put just a flatbed on and then mount the tank and the pump on just any flatbed. They need to custom design and manufacture the entire fire package, so it requires more engineering and customization on their part, and it's not such a simple cookie cutter design that they build over and over again and distribute countrywide. It would be more of a custom build. So my belief is that these rejection letters is a reflection of the fact that it's not well, just like I said, it's not representative of their own in-house design specifications that they usually sell their trucks to. So I'd like to work with the manufacturers a little bit, and I would request a latitude from the board to reach out to the manufacturers and see what we can do to move forward with this project, still get a Wildland truck, but do so in a number of something that meets our budgeted number that we've put forward.
How much over budget was that bid?
This bid, I don't think there's any reason not to disclose. So here's the actual bid that I received, and I haven't publicly disclosed that. I don't see any reason not to announce that today, though, so I think it'd be appropriate.
We don't need to mention a bid amount. We could just reject the bid as being over
over budget.
And we don't need to mention the bidder as well.
The bidder?
Yeah.
No, I think you can just outright reject the bid.
Now, I will say the proposal we received from this manufacturer is a very well done proposal, and they do meet our specifications as we released it. It just came in higher than we anticipated, and I just don't want to move forward with you know, that increased cost. I think the number we budgeted is a legitimate number, and it's right in line with the last two trucks, similar size and capacity trucks that we built 2 years ago, is what we budgeted this time.
So basically what you would do is get the approval from us and go out and rebid these with the, or renegotiate with the other manufacturers?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When you talk about the attachment, that you would like it vertical rather than horizontal, was that the only?
No, that's just one example.
That was just
another
one
good
example
is right. Between the frame rails of the truck, we wanted to have the hard suction hose stored between the frame rails and have a compartment in there that you can slide in an 8-foot long piece of hard hose that you pull off easily and connect to the pump and draw a draft from. That requires, you know, some modifications on their part to make that compartment work. And there's several other little examples like that I can go into detail if you wanted to hear. I think the reality would be that we're going to need to come back and reduce some of those requirements to allow these manufacturers to be competitive with their proposals.
Mr. Chairman, I move we reject the bid for the fire apparatus and authorize Chief Cooper to go back and renegotiate with other companies and try and come up with something within our budget.
Okay. I'll second that.
Second by Commissioner Rahauser. Any comment or question?
Well, I would ask Chad then, if it's reconfigured other than what you think it should have been, is that going to interfere with the abilities for you to use the apparatus the way you would like?
Yeah, it would. Yes, you're right. We've specified how we wanted the manufacturers to build the truck to best meet our needs locally. And there's certain requirements that, you know, make our job as firefighters more convenient and make us more efficient. And the examples that I just mentioned are two good examples. And in order to get the received bids where we need them to be, though, I think we're going to need to reduce some of our requirements and get the numbers in alignment with what we have budgeted. So I think the reality is we are going to have to reduce our expectations. I haven't spoken to the manufacturers, but I expect that to be the case.
Any other questions? If not, I'll call the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. All right, Chad, you got your direction then.
All right, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. The only other thing is I haven't spoke to you in a while. I haven't given my normal county fire wardens report or radio progress update. I would be happy to stand for any questions, but I have submitted this information to you electronically beforehand. So,
Could you explain to me in your report when they were looking at the on the Hogsback Tower? Mm-hmm. It said it failed, but it was 118%. What does that mean?
Yeah. So there's different standards of construction that are updated every so often, and those standards of construction related to how to build a tower. We recently, nationally, the FCC, I'm not sure who actually produces these standards, but they updated their standard and increased additional wind loading on the towers, and so the current revision that we build towers to is revision H. Now, the Hogsback Tower was originally built under revision F, so it was built under a lesser standard. In order to build out the new system, we need to extend the existing 90-foot tower and put an additional 30-foot extension on it. But in order to do that, we've got to meet the modern standard, the modern revision H standard. So the Harris engineers ran the numbers and did a structural analysis of the Hogsback Tower, and it came back as loaded at 118%. Now, according to their design specifications, anything above 105% means a failed tower, and that we can't put additional microwave dishes or antennas or anything on there, because it would, if the wind was to blow hard enough, it would actually tip the tower over. So we've contacted Harris and asked them to look a little closer at the existing tower, because what they based their structural analysis on was a couple of pictures that we sent to them and said, okay, here's what's existing on the tower. Well, we didn't give them enough detail for them to come back and say it's 118% versus 105%. So we've asked them to come back when they're here anyway doing site visits on other towers, and specifically look at exactly what's already loaded on the tower. And then furthermore, we have the option to remove some of the existing equipment that's already on the Hogsback Tower. And we'd like for them to make a recommendation to us to remove some ancillary equipment that may not be necessary on the new build out of the new system. And by removing that equipment, we reduce the weight load on the tower. And I would expect that we should be able to get underneath of their requirements to pass the new updated revision H of building the tower. So the failed 118% number that you saw, that was really a question of bad data in equals bad data out. And so we've asked Harris to come back and get updated information and make sure the numbers they're using are the most accurate numbers. And then additionally, if they think that it'd be beneficial to remove some of the non-necessary equipment from the tower to ensure that we're using accurate information to do the structural analysis.
And the structural analysis for the Enterprise Tower is taking place today?
Yes, that's my understanding. It's going to be cold out there, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But that was my understanding. It was scheduled for this week.
And what's your comment or level of satisfaction on the report about the frequencies?
So they did submit all of the frequencies. Harris has submitted the frequencies to the FCC. My understanding from the way they described it to me is that FCC has a certain amount of time to review those frequencies and then issue a statement, either awarding or say no, there's something wrong. We haven't received anything from Harris or from FCC telling us to move forward or not on the frequencies that we have. And so I guess by rule, that allows us the opportunity to move forward with our project under the assumption that we can test the existing frequencies that we're applying for. So think of it like we've been temporarily allowed to test the functionality of those frequencies. So because of that, Harris is actually sending a frequency spectrum analysis tool, and it should be here within the next week or two as well. And they're going to place it on all the mountaintops where we have the repeaters, and they're going to test for the existing frequencies in the area and ensure that the new proposed frequencies that we have don't cause interference or don't receive interference either. And then based on that field analysis, they'll have some empirical data that they can come back to the FCC with and continue to move forward with the application process. But as of today, we haven't received any denial letters from the FCC. And Harris tells me that's a good thing. That means that there's nothing outstanding that is problematic. Now we do know there are a couple of frequencies that are being used by WildLink. The question is are they being used in other parts of the state because they're licensed statewide, and does that create a possibility for interference in Sublette County? And so we are actively pursuing that and making sure that the frequencies that have been proposed by Harris are not going to be problematic in the new build out of the new system.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
My only question or concern is if they're going to test these frequencies next week or in the near future, it's the lull in the season.
Absolutely.
So they may pass now, but during spring boom or whatever, do you have that same concern?
We absolutely do, and we've expressed that concern. Our original intent was to test those frequencies last summer. Now it's a question of either we test the frequencies now and move forward, or we wait and extend this project even further than it's already been delayed. And so we made the decision to test the frequencies now and try to get something, which is better than nothing, to allow us to move forward with the build out of the project and not continue to delay the project any further.
Thank you.
But it is absolutely a legitimate concern. Foliage on the leaves is also going to be a problem for us too. Right now, the aspens aren't. You know, they don't have the leaves on them that would cause the blockage and interference that, so really the best time to do the test would be right in the middle of the summer when the other frequencies are at their height and when there's plenty of leaves on the trees, and then legitimately test and see how it's going to work. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for timing, though, we don't have the ability to get that done and get the project completed this summer.
Would it be beneficial to do two tests if the time and money was in the budget?
So we've included in the contract that any problematic interference after the system goes live will need to be addressed and corrected by Harris. So in reality, the second test will be the live test of using the system. If there's interference or any problems that exist, Harris is responsible to come back and correct
channels.
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is the working relationship still all smiles? Sorry to put you on the spot, but we've hit bumps in the road all the way along, and so I was just curious to see if we're all working together to solve the problem.
We are absolutely working together to solve the problem. I can unequivocally say yes, we are.
Okay,
we are working
very good.
Together.
I guess that's all I need. Okay. I didn't mean to throw in a little sarcasm there, but it's the only thing I bring anymore is just sarcasm.
Well, I appreciate that.
Sour chasm. Gotcha. Anything else for Shad? Congratulations on your hard work and your credit earned for this Essentials of Firefighting. Good job, and it's a good tribute to Suffolk County.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very much so.
Well, thanks very much for the support of the board that allowed me to participate with that program. That's beneficial not only for our local firefighters, but firefighters all across the country. So I really appreciate that.
That's good.
Okay. Anything further?
I don't think so at this time.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I do like getting your update early.
Okay.
So we have a chance to look at it and everything, and then we have questions. Good. I like that.
I'm glad the format's working out well. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chad.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is the Extension Office. If you folks would like to come forward, have a seat, and introduce yourselves.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, gentlemen, for allowing us to come and speak with you this morning. My name is Glenn Owings, and I am Area Rangeland Educator with the University of Wyoming Extension. So my area of responsibility is the western five counties of the state. Dealing with matters of technical assistance and education in rangelands. Do a lot of cooperative monitoring and do cooperative grant work, including in Suffolk County with the Conservation District and our federal agencies and ranching partners in the community. So that's a lot of what I do. I also operate the pesticide applicator testing in Suffolk County. So the county employees and some of our private industry folks who do pesticide testing will come to our office. That's another part of what I do. And this is Megan.
Hi, Megan.
Hello.
Megan, how are you?
Yourself.
Nice to meet you.
Tell them about.
Good to meet you, too. My name is Megan Smith, and I'm the new admin assistant at the Extension Office. I'm very excited to be working closely with the community and the young adults in the area. I'm originally from Illinois, so still kind of new, and I love everything Sublet has to offer. I'm a big outdoors person. And
how about today?
How about today? I almost walked out without a coat, surprisingly. So it's a little chilly today, but I'm excited for this opportunity, and thanks for letting me meet you guys.
I'm glad to have you on board.
Yes, yeah, so we recently hired Megan to take the position vacated by Tiffany Olson, and Megan brings a lot of great experience and will be an excellent addition to the team here in Suffolk County. Steve Harrison is our 4-H educator, and he had intended to be here this morning and hoped to introduce himself to you all. Mr. Noble, you were involved in the hiring process. You're familiar with Steve. He brings a lot of experience to the table. He's been in East Idaho for some period of time doing extension work and 4-H work. His wife had a surgery recently, and so that's why he was unable to be here this morning. But he wanted to meet me to pass along to you all that he would like to meet with you and introduce himself and get to know you all a little bit better. I think he intends to be here for a good while, and I think we'll be good in his position. So perhaps all of you are well familiar with University Extension, but I just wanted to kind of briefly discuss the structure of how it is now. So I apologize if this is old information, but we do have a 4-H educator in each county. We have then area educators like myself who serve a variety of different counties but are housed in a county. So that's kind of how our structure is. And we also have Wendy Kelly in our office. Some of you may know Wendy from being here for a number of years, working in different capacities. Currently, she's the regional program coordinator for the Northern Plains Climate Hub. So she organizes a lot of education outreach associated with weather, climate, and agriculture, and kind of the intersection of those things. And she also sends her greeting in that she'd be willing to visit with you all at any time. I believe the budget matter associated with our meeting this morning is related to her office space. So if you have any specific questions, I may be able to answer some questions, but if there's any specific questions to that relationship or her role in the community or the office or how her relationship is to that, she'd be more than willing to visit with you further. And one of my primary reasons, other than just introducing Megan and myself and visiting with you this morning, is to say we'd love to update you on our programs and what we're doing in the community. I want to know the best way to do that. So historically, it's been kind of an annual thing, and Robin Schamber was the county coordinator, so she would organize that, and we provide a once annual kind of overview of the grants we're involved with and the programs that we're putting on. But if there's a different format or a different timing of how you'd like to receive those, we'd want to check in with you folks on that.
Commissioner Noble, what do you think you've been involved most with?
Joel's got a lot of background here too. How long have you been with us?
So I've been in Suffolk County for 6 years. I've been with Extension for 3 years in the area role.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm just going to go by a little bit. Someone mentioned to me that you've taken on a new endeavor up in Teton County. Is that?
That is true. So that's not official yet.
Not
so
official, but
yeah. So that looks like that could take place, at which time Steve Harrison would work with Kelly Crane to take over this county coordinator role. Yep, so that's what would take place at that time.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's not official yet then.
Correct.
Sure.
I don't have anything else. Joe? Would follow up, would that be still with Extension you're talking about or something?
That role for myself, it would be, yes. Yep.
Would be what?
It'd be coordinating the 4-H program.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Question on your range mm-hmm. position. Mm-hmm. We're doing a significant amount of range work in this county, not us directly, but through the Conservation District, mm-hmm. working with BLM, Forest Service, data collection for grazing permit renewal.
Yep, absolutely.
What has been your involvement in that?
Yeah. So currently, I just wrapped up the analysis associated with the Sherman allotment, a cooperative program that was myself with University Extension, and did some of the field work with Suffolk County Conservation District, the forest, and the permittees. So that's a cooperative program that just wrapped up. Also have a ongoing project, which I certainly work with the university, hopefully continue to do in Tosai Basin with the Suffolk County Conservation District, again, the permittees, looking at data collection for converting sheep permitting to cattle AUM. So I'm involved in that project and have days slotted to do field work associated with that as well. So there are a couple examples of current and ongoing projects.
Okay, and then in terms of the 4-H program, I think mm-hmm. from my perspective at least, we would like an update from the new 4-H
yep.
program leader. If you could
yes, sir.
Somehow see that he schedules with Kerry mm-hmm. to get on our agenda. And
yep.
And we have had, at least up until now, probably considered the, one of the very top 4-H programs in the state of Wyoming.
Certainly.
And hopefully we can make some effort to keep that thriving, keep good participation with the kids. I mean, that's what determines a good 4-H program is the number of kids involved and mm-hmm. how active they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the commission, this commission has been very supportive of that through the years, and we'd certainly like to continue to see that that's a successful program. And I think part of that would be to get an update from the new person as to what they're doing and all that stuff.
This may not really pertain to you, but has Steve been successful in relocating to here and
he
becoming
is
familiar with everything? I mean,
I believe so. I believe he's put forth a good effort. He, he has relocated himself, to my understanding. I'm not sure the status of his housing situation in Idaho, whether he's sold his home or I don't believe he's purchased a home here, but he has relocated in an apartment here for the time being. So.
Okay.
Anything else? So you need us to approve the lease between Summit County and the University of Wyoming for the extension office?
For Lee Kelly's office. And my understanding, visiting with her, is that the university reached out and asked that we forward this on for your approval. The previous version of this agreement did not include hard dates on that lease. I believe it was rather open-ended,
right,
and such that if there was an issue, it would be coordinated amongst the commission and Ms. Kelly. So I think it what happened is this moved from, at the university, this question moved from academic affairs to the real estate department. And upon arrival at the real estate department, they decided that, that's my understanding, is that this these dates and associated new agreement would be necessary.
Yeah. So the lease agreement is from April 1st, 2019 till March 30th, 2020.
Correct.
And Matt, you've looked at this lease agreement and have no problem with it. So I would entertain a motion that we approve the lease between Summit County and the University of Wyoming for office spaces outlined in this lease.
Mr. Chairman, I so move we approve the lease for, and this is just office space, and we basically leased to Wendy Kelly, and that helps. Question is, what happens to that lease payment? Where does that go?
That goes to the lease payment.
Just to the county general fund? Do you know, Carrie?
I think it would be just a source of revenue, but I don't know what line item you
could
put that to. Okay. But I can check into
it. I'm just curious. I mean, they write a check to Summit County.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then where does that money, does it go in some particular budget category or what? I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm. I'll find out.
Yeah, payment goes to the Summit County clerk. Mm-hmm.
Carrie can find out.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we got a motion by Commissioner Bowsman, a second by Commissioner Rawhauser. Is there any other questions? Mm-hmm. If not, I call for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Okay.
So,
questions or thoughts from the commission?
No, I don't. Like I said, we'd like to see what's his name?
Steve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like to meet with him, get a report from him.
Yeah.
And then I guess we'll move forward from there.
Okay.
Appreciate you coming down in this warm weather to see us.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you very much. It was nice meeting both of you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, Carrie, I'll just give this to you, I guess.
Can I steal my book back from your Mac?
What's that? Okay. Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Oh,
very nice.
No, I just didn't get to look at it. Go ahead. I'll look at it later. Okay.
I'll tell him what it... I got it pretty much memorized. I'll share it with him. Yeah, I got it all done.
I don't need it.
No.
I just wanted to thumb through the...
Yeah, please. I'll leave it with you and then
good
pick
photos
it up this
there
afternoon. Yeah.
What do you want to know? Page 451.
How were we referenced?
What? How? Oh, good.
all right. Thank you. Elena, we're just about right on time. If you'd like to come on up.
Yeah. I'm getting closer to that.
Huh?
I'm getting closer to that. Tim?
Yep. Sure.
Have some of this.
Hi, everyone.
Have some of that. Good morning.
Great.
Good morning. Okay.
Good.
Cold. I love it. So.
Zesty.
What we're discussing today is the revenue capture for the environmental project, and we want to keep this in a public forum.
Oh.
Can you know who else here?
Okay. Would you just identify yourself for the
court? Wyoming Business Council.
Jeff Keough, President of Environmedial Services.
Okay. Sam Summerall, Director of Sales and Marketing, Environmedial Services.
So, Matt, is this something we need to go into executive session to discuss?
I guess, yeah, what's the substance of the...
It's a negotiation, a contract negotiation.
You know, there's not a clear exemption to go into executive session for contract negotiations. There is the real estate exemption, but it's only when publicity could increase the price. So if you gentlemen don't mind, let's start off an open session. If we get to something that seems confidential or privileged or sensitive in any way, maybe I'll raise my hand and we can consider.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to distribute to you the draft of the revenue recapture plan. And I'm going to have you guys share.
Sure.
At least when we're killing trees, we're killing Pinedale trees because they made the copies for us.
Well, they've all been burned anyway.
Most of them.
In this revenue recapture plan, the total you can read, and I can go through it with you. What is of a special interest is the second page. Would you like me to give you just some time to
just a minute. Yeah, that'd
spend
be good.
On that?
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
on the second page, Elena,
Sure.
Would you explain that first bullet point, 50% economic development?
There's a provision the Business Council put in about 4 years ago, trying to allow for economic development agencies, which are called organizations, EDOs, to have some funds that would help with operations and maintenance. So this is put into rule that up to half of this money can be used for operations and maintenance of the organization, including salary, but not to exceed 50%. Doesn't mean you have to. It just means you have to say.
No more than 50%.
You cannot do more than 50%. So you can't fund the entire organization. Half of this money has to go back into some type of economic development projects, not just salary or keeping the lights on. But it was trying to.
It can be less than 50, though, right?
It can be less than 50. It can be nothing. Or 2% or 20% or 49%, but it can't be 51%.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So, Elena.
Yes.
Touch base on the amount of money per jobs created. Bottom of page 2.
Can I just do just a really brief preface?
Yeah.
The revenue recapture exists in business committed grants usually only. And the revenue recapture used to go 100% back to the county or the applicant community. That same time, about 4 years ago, the legislature was concerned that the Business Council was never going to work on its own, and they wanted them to try to get to that point instead of coming back and asking for money out of the general fund each time. So we had talked about 50-50, we had talked about giving it all back to the state, and we came down with 25-75. So whenever you do this, it says a grant and loan program. The grant is to the applicant community. It is not ever to the business. It is because of our constitution, and Wyoming's constitution is a little different than all the surrounding states, and I don't know beyond that point, where you cannot give money directly to a private enterprise without specific legislative directive, a vote, a bill, or something like that. So what we do is we extend funds in a patient capital way, minus public benefit. And public benefit has always been jobs created. So how we define how much public benefit you get, it's not in our rules and it's not in our enabling legislation. So that the good news about the Business Council is the bad news about the Business Council, because we come up with these ideas and then it goes before the Attorney General, and he determines or she determines if it comports with the Constitution. So this here, and which part? The
second from the bottom, the jobs created.
Okay, so.
I had that concern last time in this building.
Okay, sure. The way in the, help me, what is that thing? The grid there.
The schedule of payments.
Yeah, schedule of payments. Pre-project is just to give you an idea. You're making a request for the purchase of the building. What is left owed on the building and the ground underneath it, the 2.15 acres, is $1,032,000. And yeah, I think it's $500. But I will check my numbers.
Right.
Again, this is still draft. Year one, for public benefit jobs created, you're giving Enviromedial a interest-free loan for the first year. Second year, the outstanding balance of $1,032,000, and I'm sure I plugged $500 into my amortization schedule. They will pay to Sublette County approximately $6,275 a month, it comes up to $75,000 a year. The way this document reads, you will retain 75% of that, and you'll get it every month from Enviromedial. However, you will pay 25% of that to the Business Council. At the start of year six, Enviromedial will have paid $300,000, $225,000 of which stays with Sublette County, and $75,000 goes back to the Business Council. You'll see the asterisk there. All of those numbers off to the right in the project balance are from the amortization schedule, which is at 20 years at 4%. Now, if we go down to the buyout purchase, there's option one. That's buyout with the 10 jobs created. That's the public benefit, was the initial 10 jobs created. There's no interest added. At that particular time, there's $732,126 left on that $1,032,000. Enviromedial, if they've created their 10 jobs, would have to come up with that amount of money and buy out Sublette County. This was, and brings up a deal, in the original revenue recapture that we were working with Mr. Nelson on, we had a provision that they could extend this contract with Sublette County, but Mr. Nelson did not want Sublette County to be a bank and asked that that option be taken out of this revenue recapture document, which we did. Then, as part of the negotiation, we added this, that $10,000 job credit for every job above 10. So if they go in there and they create, for example, 20 jobs, and I figured this wrong, first 10 job was 0% interest, the next 10 jobs, if they created 30 jobs, then 20 jobs would be 200,000. Mm-hmm. So that's confusing. I'm sorry that I did that. So if they created 15 more jobs, that would be 150,000 away. And it turns out the Business Council is going to make you take it all out of your funds. And they, you still owe the Business Council their full 25%. Which kind of makes me smile. Sorry. Because that's not how I read it, but that's how I was told. So if Enviromedial would come in and at the end of this year, start year six, they had created 11 jobs, they would get one $10,000
credit on the principal.
Credit on the principal. Thank you.
So, as I mentioned, my concern is the timeline at the buyout. They can hire on five people because that's worth $50,000, and then the day after the buyout, they can lay five back off.
Very, very good point, sir.
And I don't want to be the devil's advocate.
No, please. But,
so, how do we
guard against that?
I mean, you could hire 20 people.
I completely agree. A couple things. Environmental services over 20 years never laid one human being.
And
off.
I'm not saying this.
I agree. Let's
this is for this we contract could put in any future one.
You know, maybe we say, you know, nothing counts at the end of year, whatever it would be.
Six.
Yeah. So if we, you know, can't even hire it at the end of year six, wouldn't even count. We could do something like that. Whatever suggestions you might have, because we're not going to do that at all. We're already at 10.
Well, we could even say the last quarter or the last half of the sixth year. Anybody hired during that period is irrelevant.
Would it be, say, this may just a snowballing here, that you'll retain all those people you have hired for another year past?
I'd be happy to put that in there.
I don't know.
That's fine.
No, that would not scare me one bit.
I just want to safeguard ourselves against that. That seems.
You bet.
I would actually think that's a great
doing
idea.
That, I just feel like.
No, sir. That's fine with us.
In other words, for the job to count, it's got to be held for at least 1 year.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yeah, that's perfectly fair.
Sorry, at the end.
You know, and we're not going to bring 12 people on to do this. As being members of this community, using a person to get a few thousand dollars off the principal is evil at this point. We're not gonna
do it. It's just a formality.
No, but it's a great thing. So if that's what you guys would like to see, we'd absolutely put that in there.
So excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So are the new hires going to be predominantly from the community, or will it necessitate that you bring in more experienced somebody from someplace else?
Mr. Houseman, we have not had the need to bring in anyone from the outside yet. I did bring in my shop foreman, you know, when we moved. That was the person who's been with us 15 years, and him and I worked very closely on design and things, but everyone else, we've had great success from the community. We had one gentleman, our first hire, Micah, moved from Rock Springs to Silva County. Everyone else has been hired from here, and we do all our training in-house anyway. We do such a huge variety of work throughout the Marine Corps and the Army that we find it easier to find people who are very motivated and want a good position, and we provide that training. So I don't see the need to bring anyone from the outside in, sir.
Elena, who would verify this employment? I mean, would that be the business council, or is that something on us? Or
we should provide that payroll or the.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's got to be someone that.
When you send in your stuff to the Department of Revenue, that's how we have most often checked, because it's a report that you already have to do.
Absolutely, yeah, we could submit that easily.
Yeah, without having to do another one. Another option is you could limit how many jobs they could create that you're going to
create. Put a cap on it.
Put a cap on it.
I don't want to restrict you guys. I want you to succeed at this, so your input there is fine. I don't
mind a cap either. You know, our goal is environmental services. We certainly appreciate the help that we're getting here. And my goal is not to get this number down to zero. I want Silva County to have this money. I want the Wyoming Business Council to have this money. If we wanted to do both, that would be fine with me, because we're going to pay for this building one way or another anyway. This is just a help to get us through this huge manufacturing splurge that we have. As a matter of fact, this morning, the first MSG from the Pentagon just emailed and said that now every base in the island of Puerto Rico, they want these systems. It could be another 50. So I have a stomachache over that. But so a cap and that 1 year would be perfectly fine with me. You know, we don't want to leave Silva County with nothing. You guys were kind enough to bring us in here and invite us.
I think that's something that you guys have all, we don't have to all agree on.
What are you?
That's up to you.
I'm going to cap it at 15 and put the 1 year on there. 15 additional plus the 10, or whatever you feel comfortable with it.
You know, that sounds not only reasonable, but mission accomplished if you end up providing 25 jobs.
Yeah, I honestly think it's going to be more than that. I really do. I think, you know, we're already at 10, and we're busier than one of our paper hangers as it is. We just finished the building today, so we'll be working in it tomorrow. And we've already got our staff looking for the next couple guys to come in, because the SEAL teams are bringing in some more work to us as well. So we don't have enough people as it is. So,
do you guys have any thought on a cap beyond the 10?
No. I think that's fine.
I personally think if you set the sky as a limit and do 20 additional jobs, that's a win-win. Because if you can meet that expectation, sounds like we're going to gain significantly as a county with 30 new jobs.
I hope so, sir.
Yeah. Yes. So my thought would be, if you want to put a cap, my thought would be 20.
I agree.
Anybody?
20 additional.
30 total.
Yes.
Are you good with that?
With the 1 year. I'd like the 1 year.
Yeah.
Can you redefine how that 1 year is going to read for me?
I guess in my mind, the thought is those 30 employees may not be the same employees, but they will still have 30 additional employees for 1 year.
For 1 year total.
It would be this 20.
Get that
it would actually
10,
anything over the 10.
Anything
over the 10, so the next 20, we would want it, they would want to be employed.
To retain that $10,000.
Okay,
gift.
So when does the time period that you're going to start counting?
That's a good question. So let's work that out.
Are you going to count it at the end of, because the buyout is the start of year six. Are you going to make this by the end of year five so that you know that they're retained for, or the end of year four so you know they're retained all the way through year five?
Buyout is in the year, at the beginning of year six.
That would make more sense.
I would think you would have to.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't want to have to go back and account.
Yeah.
Because you're not really buying out after year five if you have to have a buyout.
I mean, if the retained job was in year seven, that would be preferable.
I think the only thing accounting wise, if we didn't make it for some reason or we had something, then how complicated is it for ESI to refund money to you that we've already paid?
Right.
I think year six makes more sense.
At the beginning?
Does that work for you?
So they have to be hired by the end of year five, and they have to be retained through the minute we buy out.
Right.
We'll do a look back.
We'll do a look back.
When the buyout comes, we'll do a year look back, and we'll count the jobs.
Count the ones that are there.
If you get up to 30 jobs, you're going to have to increase your floor space.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I don't even want to tell the board of directors about that yet.
So right now, this document is a draft, and it does need to be signed by the chairman.
The draft needs to?
We'll take the watermark off of that.
Okay.
We'll put in those changes, and then we'll be back to get it signed to include... with the application in Cheyenne.
And when would you like that done? When do you need to have that done? Because I know
actually,
you have that.
We have usually had that done by the SLIB board meeting in April.
Right.
So we've got some time. You'll get a contingency recommendation, which means we recommend for funding contingent upon these things being solved. So if we have this document and it's not in draft, it is unsigned. It is signed, then it's not a contingency any longer. Okay.
The signed draft is only signed by the chairman then?
Yes. The draft is
the
only
final. The final copy also?
Yes.
I did have a question.
Sure.
It kind of reads like a contract to me. There's obligations for the county and obligations for Enviromedial. Could we add a signature block for a representative from Enviromedial, or is that
absolutely?
Would you gentlemen be comfortable with that?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Thank you.
I would say I really appreciate that. Okay. And then I just had one question about the options to purchase after year five.
Yes.
So it sounds like there's two options. One, if they've met all the job creation goals and payments on the lease. And then there's one if they have not met those job creation goals and their lease payments. So in your mind, I guess what I want to avoid is, and I don't mean to offend you, gentlemen. I'm an attorney. I sometimes think worst case rather than most likely case. But if everything goes to hell, is Sublette County going to be left with a building that we have to sell? Is that contemplated, or are your gentleman's plan is to buy this thing after 5 years?
We're absolutely going to buy it after 5 years.
Okay.
Bar some catastrophic event, which none of us can predict. You know, like I said, we've been in business 21 years and manufacturing for over 18. Our intent is to buy this for sure, sir.
Okay, great. So, I just want to avoid
the
that
worst case
that
scenario.
Scenario. Yes, exactly.
Actually, was on one of the questions, if you remember, what will the county do? County will have a building. You're going to have to market that building. Mm-hmm.
So that's actually.
I think Chad wanted to. He was mad that we took it because he wanted the fire department.
It's not surprising,
especially now. Now he's more.
So, Mr. Chairman, really, that's the only downside to this whole thing is we could wind up with a building.
It's not our money to begin with.
That's right. It's not our money to begin
right.
with.
It's a win-win, no matter how we fail.
Mm-hmm. There's something
I'm holding on. Mr. Chairman, there was some issues with the 10-acre parcel. Is that where are we at with that now?
That's a really good question. I think probably maybe you guys know better where we're at with that. The idea was never to buy the 10-acre parcel. It was just the 2.15 acres. If they bought, then that raised concerns for us at the Business Council of a subdivision. And the time lapse between when that begins and when that ends. However, in this particular case, talking to the PNZ per the instruction from you, is that this is not a subdivision. This is a reassignment, a plat reassignment, which is a far shorter time period and gives us a lot of comfort. You guys still remain with your 2.15 acres. The other 7-point-something acreage
8.5, yeah.
is assumed into the other parcel, and it will go before the planning and zoning in February, tomorrow, the 25th. And then it will go before commission on April 3rd. And so it should be taken care of by the SLIB meeting on the 5th.
We were going to purchase it, Commissioner, but BHI already had a kind of a lease to buy on that parcel as well, and it got very complicated. The guy wanted to keep his option to purchase that, and so once it became clear that it was just a plat reassignment, we said, you know, we'll buy it if you need us to. If you don't, we won't. So
is not having that extra space looking into the future, is that going to be an issue with you?
No, Commissioner. We the way we put the building, the new building we just finished, it allows us to extend the shop to the west twice the size we have now. So. Without interfering with anything else. So we've got plenty of space to do that. And at that size, if we had to go 4 more bays out to the west, plus our other building, I think we're good. And if we got bigger than that, then I'll buy that land from that guy.
Mr. Chair.
Because the airport will be mad then. So I'm sure the airport won't like that.
Mr. Bowser.
Elena, you mentioned April 5th.
Yeah.
I've got April 4th in my book.
Okay.
Thursday.
Okay. It's an April 4th?
Good. Yeah.
Those numbers.
I get confused too, but I thought I better clarify that. I drive to Cheyenne on the wrong day.
It's Rock Trains, it must be Tuesday.
Do you have any update about the meeting in Casper on the.
I do. The oil and gas building is what they were working on.
Okay.
Do you know where that is?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But we don't know time, or you'll let us know.
On that one in Casper, you probably we have tried to be consistent, and we've made 3 out of the 4 consistent as starting that at 9 o'clock. Typically the meeting starts at 8:30.
Yeah.
And Pete Ellaway is gone, so it will not start at 8. Which is more information than.
But
you
will. you will let us know.
Yeah, I will.
Are you guys planning on going to Casper?
Yes, sir.
Is Pete Ellaway's
here? I hope you got a room already.
No, he was. And Pete is off the board.
What are we doing for Casper?
He always wanted to start
the
early.
I think they're having some state basketball playoffs.
Oh, geez. Okay. We'll book it. If not,
we'll take care of it.
So Pete is off for now. He did 2 terms.
Now, they're scarce.
Here's a lease agreement for light reading for you. This agreement has one part in that depended upon the revenue recapture plan. I have one for them. So we will, I will change that language in the lease agreement so it's Enviromedia will receive a reduction in the outstanding principal repayment of $10,000. For every job created from 11 to 30. So that, where that's dark, that will be what will change. The sovereign immunity language is put in per request from Sublette County. And other than that, there haven't been any changes to this document. We will, since I have that, I'll take out the yellow, which is dark in yours, and put in that correct. And then we will take off the watermark draft and it will be signed. And whose space on the back signs do we need to add? Enviromedia is on that.
Landlord and tenant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now this is something you will present to Mr. Gaffney ahead of time for his review so that we can get it in our packet prior to the April meeting. You have
Mr. Gaffney has reviewed it.
Okay.
And
well, we got some changes. Minor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that one change on there. And yes, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So, Mr. Chairman, so you're up and running as of tomorrow? Is that
correct? The new building, sir. We've been up and running for a year and change doing manufacturing, but we needed that new building to work on this mass influx of orders we had. So the new building's finished today, and we'll be running, starting manufacturing on that tomorrow.
So
pretty well.
Finished in the sense that it has heat now. Thank God.
Well, we've got some light.
Work faster. So would it be... I'm really curious. Can I come down and snoop at your discretion at some point?
We would love to have you there.
Open invitation.
Anytime.
Open invitation.
I think the rest of us have already been there.
We've all been there.
I have,
but
I will before we go to Casper.
Okay, that'd be great if
I still have a
If you guys have a date, I'll make sure I'm here, because there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of story to tell. Matter of fact, you're working with Elaine here, Melbourne Brewing and Alpine now has terminated their agreement with the other company that was running their wastewater systems and hired Environmental to do it. So we'll be there Thursday, and then we'll be probably building a plant. But I'd love to show you what we've done over the last 18 years and what we're doing in the future.
It's well worth it.
You've been through it, Joe?
Yeah.
Is everybody here? Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes.
No, just Mac and Joel.
And Andy went down before he
I went with Andy.
Took off the board.
Mm-hmm. So will you be available next week? Or are you going to be gone?
No. What day is next week? No, I will. Looks like I'm heading to the Middle East on the 28th. But anytime before then, I will be in town.
Have you got a phone number for contact? And then, because my days can be off.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I will make available anytime you guys want. So.
What sheet for what you do, Todd?
What does that say?
28th. That's the last day of February.
Yeah, you just let me know when.
It would be
today's 19th.
I'd be leaving. I'd have a few days next week. The up to through the 27th. So between now and the 27th.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. Perfect.
I'll shoot for Tuesday because I'm kind of coming this direction. What's the time frame?
We open at 7:30. You tell us when to be there, and we'll be there.
If it's earlier in the morning, it would be in the afternoon.
That'd be fine. Perfect. You just let us know when you want to be there.
Sam, I can just give you a call. I'm going to tentatively say Monday or Tuesday.
Perfect.
For Tom and I to come.
Great.
Great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then the last thing in rechecking the application, the numbers weren't right in the columns, but the totals were right, and so a number got left out, and I've redone all those numbers, so now I doctored the books. Yes, they actually
cooked them up.
Cooked the books. But what it does is it leaves the one page without a signature, and that is something that you might want for your records, is a signature. I think Andy's is on the other incorrect amounts. Mm-hmm. And so the business council, I'm not quite sure what to do here. Maybe the best thing is if you could review this. Now the numbers all add up. Was it just an oversight? Because the numbers always added up correctly on the bottom. The totals were always right. It was just, we were missing $18,000 somewhere, and it was on that one concrete pad.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And so now the numbers are correct. If you would like to re-sign the application with these correct numbers, I think we would appreciate it. And then we'll retain a copy for your application, get you a copy for your application. I will keep a copy for my application, and then Cheyenne will have the correct number. Excuse me, the correct numbers. I'll go for it.
So this is the application minus
those
signature.
Are three pages out of the application that had an incorrect. We're missing 18,717, I can tell you if I looked. They just, it didn't, it got added in, it just didn't appear.
Is it something you could send the whole application back to?
The concrete pad, $18,744?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, that was
concrete
it.
Concrete pad number two.
Yeah, concrete okay. pad number two. The totals were correct. Now, you wanted the whole application?
I'm just wondering, who all signs it, just the chairman?
Just the chair.
And you need that today?
That'd be good.
Yeah. Talk to Matt. If he says okay, we got it.
Yeah, I just recommend a motion to vote to approve signature.
Okay. So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Been moved and second that we approve the application with Environmedia. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion carries. So if we can get that, then we'll sign it. You'd be happy.
I would be happy. I would be happy. It is really actually my fault. I was busy playing down in New Orleans and didn't actually.
Should have started with that. You'd have just signed it right there. Not even voted.
They pick on us all the time, don't they?
They do. I mean, just because I know more about it than anybody here because I grew up there, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, I know. I know.
David and I established that we had a lot of common ground at the recent fire banquet.
Yeah, we're both from SIP because we don't miss it.
Yeah. We run the Marine Corps headquarters in Algiers.
Yeah.
And
okay.
What a treat it is to be down there.
What is that, the one that used to be the F. Edward A. Bear?
It used to be that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Isn't there a lake called Algiers Lake?
Not in New Orleans.
No, in Mississippi.
No.
Well, that's familiar with it.
No.
Okay. I'm some of the best crappie fishing in the world is
oh,
in
really?
That lake in Mississippi.
There's
but I thought it
there's
was
a lot of good crappie. And there's a Lake Albemarle.
I'm not sure. I can't pronounce any of them. But that's all right. I'll figure it out.
So, Elena?
Yes, sir.
We just need to get that from Matt. We'll sign it. Is that what we're doing?
I gave it to you.
You didn't have a signature thing on the other one.
On the second page, at the bottom.
Oh, print name and title. Got it.
Okay.
I didn't think it was official if it had red ink on here.
Oh, yeah.
Never mind. We approved it. We will need copies of that.
Yes.
Sam, do you have a local phone number down there?
We do.
I've got all I've got your California numbers.
I don't know.
It's there anyway.
My card didn't.
Get to you.
We just called the cell.
That's we just recently got a landline.
With the Mississippi prefix.
Absolutely.
601.
Absolutely.
Recognize that.
I get asked a lot. Where's that from?
Yeah.
Is there a number that, what number needs to be changed?
So you guys better really look hard at Casper because
it was.
Yeah.
It's that tournament going on.
Everybody books their rooms, but not everybody goes. To the tournament.
Here's a local phone number.
I don't know.
Landline?
Could we just
307?
And put the accurate number in there.
367.
There's nothing
needs to be.
7606. Replace those three pages.
And we'll get that taken care of today.
Application that you
good luck.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
The room.
Okay.
Okay.
So this goes
yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure that's a mad. It's got to be a madhouse.
It was for us. We got the last one at the Hampton.
Well, and I would almost bet that at the Hampton, if we called them and said we would like a room from one that somebody cancels, because somebody will.
Well, I don't know. We checked with those out there east of town.
Right.
Past where the fire mm-hmm. rock is. I don't know that we checked out there.
Well.
Yeah, get busy.
Well, that quality will not do.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to having you guys come out.
the rest of the pages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're up into Tuesday?
Well, that would be preferable for me.
Okay, maybe we'll get together.
Because I'm going to town later that day anyway. So I'll just
That'd be great.
5 and 26.
Okay.
No problem.
Go over our talking points.
Absolutely.
Tell them how many copies you needed and you get one, right? Wait, you get the original. Okay. Now I'm happy.
Good. That's good.
That's good.
We'll see you in Casper.
You will see me in Casper.
If you'll send us an email and let us know.
Yes, I will do that. And I'm also probably on the agenda one more time without a draft watermark for signature on those.
Sounds good.
Great. Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
We'll,
you
bet.
See you, sir.
That'd be great.
Give you a call.
Sir, see you.
We'll have to make that up for Monday or Tuesday.
Perfect.
Thank you. You bet.
Nice seeing you again, sir.
Good to see you.
See how it goes.
Thanks, sir. Good
you
seeing
bet.
You.
Good to see you again.
Nice seeing you.
We got a break.
Oh, yeah. We do.
Pleasure.
We'll be taking a recess.